For the last few Sundays, we've really been crowded at our 11 o'clock service. Some years ago, we started the 8:15 service in order to relieve the pressure of the 11 o'clock service. We still have lots of room at 8:15, and I would like to urge many of our members here at Central, if you would give strong consideration to being a part of the 8:15 service. You see, you make room, and then God fills it up, and we're going to make some more room, and He'll fill it up again, and we'll just keep growing. But in order to do that, we really do need some of our members to give serious consideration to being a part of the 8:15 service. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke, St. Luke, chapter 24. We're going to begin reading at verse 44 and read through verse 49. This is one of the most important passages in the Bible, because it is the heart of what the gospel is all about. It says that Jesus was foretold in Scripture and who He was and what He did and what we're to do about it. Now, we believe the Bible to be the only unfailing rule to guide us in what we believe and how we live. If we want to know what we should believe or what we should do, the Scripture tells us, and it never misleads us. Hear the Word of God. Then He said to them, "These are My words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." Now, He's going to refer to the Scripture, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Now, who's to do this? You are witnesses of these things. We can't do this in our own power, so He gives us the promise of the Holy Spirit. "And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but stay in the city until Pentecost, until you are clothed with power from on high." Our meditation is entitled, "Eyewitnesses to Death." Our text is verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things, thus endeth the reading." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, thank You for this Word. Open our hearts and minds now to hear what it says to us. And I pray for all of us as we get some insights into its significance and its implications, that we'll be open to the leading of Your Spirit. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The dictionary says that an eyewitness is somebody who has himself seen a specific thing. Were you there when they crucified My Lord? Were you at Calvary? Did you see the Savior crucified? If you said no, you are wrong. For once you have participated in a service of Holy Communion, you have seen His death. But there's something else that the Bible says about a witness. It says that a witness does give testimony. He attests to something. Now, if that's the definition of an eyewitness, in one sense of the word, this morning you are going to be an eyewitness to a murder. Jesus was murdered. He was put to death. Executed unjustly, unfairly. He had 12 legions of angels at His disposal. And when His disciples offered to defend Him, He said, "No, don't do that." He said, "I have 12 legions of angels at My disposal." And He permitted Himself to be murdered. For you, he did that. For me, he did that. As John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus was the sacrificial lamb offered up for the sins of the world in order that you and I might have forgiveness, that we might have our relationship to God restored. And in the Lord's Supper, you see him put to death, his body broken, his blood shed, in your behalf, in my behalf. And we are witnesses to that execution, that death. We are called to stand and to give testimony to the fact that Jesus, the very Son of God, has been put to death in behalf of sinners like you and sinners such as I. As our text for this morning says, you're witnesses to these things. Our scripture for this morning, we read a passage that the theologians call the kerygma. The kerygma is the basic message of the New Testament. It's the guts of what the Bible has to say. And if you had nothing else, it would be enough. And the kerygma is very simple. Basically, it says that Jesus was foretold in the Scriptures. It was foretold who he would be, what he would do, and how he would save us. And thus, as our passage reads this morning, it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. And then it adds, you are witnesses of these things. Now, you may not like that. You might want to ignore the whole thing and pretend it never happened and you didn't see it. Apparently, there's a lot of that going on today. People see a crime, they don't want to call the police, they don't want to intervene, they won't testify, they just don't want to get involved. A lot of Christians are like that too, apparently. They won't testify because they don't want to get involved. A moment ago I mentioned the kerygma. Really, the entire New Testament is just an expansion of that basic message about Jesus that we read in our passage of Scripture this morning. For example, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit falls on Peter and he gets up and preaches that incredible sermon, it's just an expansion, an elaboration of the kerygma. Later on, when Stephen gets up and preaches to the Jews and gets stoned to death for his trouble, it's just an elaboration of the kerygma. And even St. Paul, over in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, tells us that the most important thing he has to say is that Christ has died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture. And then he concludes, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, I suppose the question we ought to ask ourselves is this: am I a witness? Do I give testimony? Am I on the witness stand to testify to what I have heard and seen? Do you remember the conversion of Paul on the road to Damascus? You remember he had a vision of Jesus and he was blinded and they had to lead him into the city because he couldn't see anymore. And God called a man, Ananias, and Ananias came and baptized Paul and gave him his sight back as a gift from God. And Paul always testified to what had happened. He testified to what had happened, and he told always what Ananias had done. And he repeats what Ananias said to him. For Ananias said to him, for you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, there are many ways we can testify. We can testify by our lives. We can testify by being faithful, going to church. We can testify by our giving and how we relate to people. But let me say this about your life and mine. Our lives are imperfect. Our lives are flawed. We fail. We do things, we say things that are a terrible witness to Christ. And sometimes we're guilty of things that we're ashamed of, and they are an awful testimony to our faith in Jesus. That's certainly true in my life, and I suspect it is in yours. Now, ultimately, we must witness by words. Our lives, as Ruth was telling us, our lives are simply not enough. In the long run, we must say what we believe about Jesus. Now, starting next Friday night, we're having a clinic to teach people how to witness and how to share their faith. And maybe you ought to be there. Maybe you've got a neighbor, as Ruth did, who doesn't know the Lord, and you need to share. Maybe you have a loved one who's not a Christian, and you need to share. It's our experience here as pastors that frequently, we're called on to do a funeral for someone who was not a Christian. And I can't tell you the heartache and the agony and the regret that a family has when their loved one has passed into eternity and did not know Jesus as Savior. Maybe you've got somebody like that. I would suggest it's time that you learned how to share your faith. After all, Jesus says all of us are witnesses. Maybe someone at work, some friend somewhere, and you need to learn how to share. You see, whether you like it or not, in a moment, you're going to be an eyewitness to a murder. An eyewitness to the death of the Son of God who gave His life for you and for me and for your neighbor and your relative and your friend. And Jesus says we're to give witness. Will you do it?